Now stay tuned for part two of my interview with DJ Mr. C on Lachey Show.
When I got arrested the second time, it was more like, nigga, what are you fucking doing? Like, you know. And one of the biggest people that really kind of helped me through telling the truth was Funkmaster Flex. He was like, yo, my dude, let's just get this out the way. Let's just, we're going to be here for you. Just come forth.
Right.
But once I came forth, it's like, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I don't care.
Because I just want to say, like, it wasn't like your fetish or whatever you into behind closed door. Like, not for nothing. People might be looking at me sideways if they knew what we do in the bedroom. Whatever you do in the bedroom is your freaking business. My problem that I had with you, with the whole situation was, I just felt like you could have just moved smarter about it. Like, I understand you in the car, whatever, you soliciting this, that, and the third, and you know, you probably was getting a little aroused by the grime of it all because you in the street, whatever. I just didn't understand, nigga, like, you got money. Why you can't just take your situation to a hotel? I don't give a freak if it was a short stay. Go on Linden Boulevard. You know, the short stay on the motel over there. Get 4 hours. Get your situation handled, then you're on your way.
Okay, so...
Because you put people around you that you love in a hurtful situation. When you have arrived to that point that you was at, all the way up where you was, you understand?
Where I was? Yeah. I'm not there no more?
Well, I mean, you can't take away your DJing genius. Nobody can never take that away from you. But at one point in your career, you was really fucking up there. What I'm saying is that you affect people that you love with the decisions that you make. Mm-hmm. And so when you was off there, I know, don't get me wrong, I know you was only thinking about getting the bologna washed. That was it. But there's other people that, you know, was affected by that. And that's what I had a problem with.
You're right. Absolutely. But in the whirlwind of doing it, I'm not thinking about that. Just like you just said, I was just thinking about getting top. I wasn't thinking about trying to hurt nobody who you know. That didn't come until after the second arrest. Not the first, the second arrest. That's when it started to be like, yo, I'm risking everything.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
For top.
Like, I'm risking this whole shit that I built for top. And if I don't straighten this shit out, I'm going to lose everything.
Right.
But in the whirlwind of going through it, I wasn't thinking of it like that.
Did you not realize that at any point that, yo, I'm a celebrity figure. I can't be fucking doing it.
You know what? When I was super, super heavy into doing it, I never thought about it like that. And going back to the one person that kind of reeled me back in was Funkmaster Flex.
Right.
You know, he was like, yo, just because people don't say that you're Mr. C, people know that you're Mr. C.
Right.
Somebody don't have to come up to you and say, yo, you're Mr. C, right?
Right.
For them to recognize you. Just because nobody is saying that you're Mr. C doesn't mean that they don't recognize who you are.
Even the top givers know that you're DJ Mr. C.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, so that was like a reality check. Okay. Like when Flex pulled my coattail on that.
Well, you know, it was people that was probably out here, you know, all of the dudes that's out here that you deny Summer Jam tickets to. They was probably gloating in the fact that you had this.
I mean, you know, I went through a lot of good things during that turmoil, and I went through a lot of bad things. I had a lot of artists like Jay-Z and 50 Cent and Busta Rhymes and Wyclef and Diddy, who was very supportive of me. And then I went through a period where, you know, people who I really, really thought was friends was not my friends. And, you know, back to the stuff that we talked about earlier, you know, once I seen that some cats started dissipating and not wanting to deal with me, I'm just like, fuck them, you know, or whatever. But then, like, when people kind of saw that the train didn't stop, meaning that I just kept going and kept doing what I was doing, then those same people that was kind of like...
Fell back?
That kind of fell back was starting to come back around. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I was just like, nah, I can't.
The nasty African came back.
Absolutely, because I'm going to be a bigger asshole than I was in round one.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that there was something in your childhood that...
No, absolutely not.
...could have sparked this
no,
fetish?
No, that's absolutely not. My therapist said the same thing. You, what? Do you think... You know, maybe because you know because of the fire.
No, maybe somebody.
No.
You know,
no, I wasn't molested. I wasn't nothing like that. It's just something that just kind of happened.
So, do you feel that therapy helped you?
In some ways, it has, in some ways it hasn't. It's crazy because lately. I've been thinking about maybe even going back to therapy. Not that, stuff is still active or stuff is still going on, but, you know, for me, it's just like, sometimes I think about what I went through in the last 3 years or so, and I think about what led me to it, because there's really no answer. And so sometimes I'm like how you ask me and I'm like, I don't have an answer. Sometimes I try to look for that answer and I can't get to it. So that makes me want to think about going back to therapy. But other than that, I'm in a good place.
Still yearn for the power slop?
It comes and goes, you know, it comes and goes, but I have to, you know, like you said, it's bigger than me. You know, it's my family. It's the people that I love. It's the people that love me. It's my career. I can't risk, you know, doing those type of things in an illegal fashion.
Now you get a hotel?
Well, that's not happening either. That's not happening.
No short stay?
That's not happening. There's too many videos. None of that is happening.
No more?
No, that's not happening.
What's your situation now with women? Like, are you still dating?
I'm not dating anyone, but I have a lot of women friends that, because, you know, of course, in a situation like this, you're going to have more women that's more supportive than men. Mm-hmm. So throughout the years, I have developed a lot of close relationships with women that have been very supportive of my situation. Some have tried to, you know, wanting to get serious and so on and so forth, but I still got stuff with me and my inner self that I have to deal with. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I can't, you know, it's not now, especially with everything being so much out there about me, I can't put a woman through a situation where you get involved with me and then your family is wondering, you know, is everything all good and so on and so forth. I don't want to put a woman through that type of situation.
Do you ever see yourself married?
No. I don't even think I'm going to get married. I don't think I'm ever going to get married.
Why?
It
might have something to do with you having 4 spare bedrooms in your apartment full of records. It might have something to do with
no,
that.
No, I mean, I'm so dedicated to my work. Unless I'm doing a whole nother profession, I really don't think.
But listen, not for nothing, but you about to be kicking 50 in the booty.
I'll be 50 in August.
Okay.
I'll be 50 in August. Well, yeah, August 17th.
Exactly. So with that being said, when you are about to turn into the half a century, you got to really start considering some butt wipers.
Yeah, but.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it for me.
You don't want a home attendant.
I can't put a woman through a situation if I know I'm not ready.
But when the fuck you gonna be ready?
I don't know, Shay. We'll see. I don't know.
You don't. You,
but I do have a lot of women friends that we.
You never had no children. Maybe you'll find a nice young lady when you just let you know when you out and you looking for a nice young lady to settle down with. Just check out the jaw structure. Make sure it's strong. You know what I'm saying? So that you know that's something
you're
that
stupid.
You. But maybe if you find a woman that. Maybe have a child already that you can be a paternal influence on.
I was in a situation like that.
You know what I'm saying?
That didn't work out either. I mean...
Don't you, like, at some point say, yo, damn, before, God forbid if something happens to you tomorrow. Like, You need somebody to live that legacy on. Like,
I really don't think like that. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Whatever is in God's plan is in God's
plan.
No,
CJ?
If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But I don't think like that. I really don't think. I don't think about, yo, in 5 years, I want to do this. I don't think like that.
God forbid if you die tomorrow, who gets the record collection?
Nobody gets it.
Who, are you going to burn it again like you did the first fire?
No, it's going to... You're absolutely right.
Why?
It's going to get... All my music is going to get cremated.
Why?
I don't want nobody having my shit. Because now you get it easy. I built my shit from the ground up. And then you get it easy.
Somebody.
No.
Listen.
Unless I have a child, like you said, or if my goddaughter becomes super interested in music, then she can get it. But if it's, you know, or one of my nieces or nephews or whatever, they get super interested in music, they can have it. But if nobody is indulging music like me, ain't nobody getting that.
That's selfish, see?
I mean, it be like that sometimes. It be like that sometimes.
You know, people would freaking kill for that catalog. I know the young dudes out here probably be looking at you like this.
When I DJ, you see my laptop right over there. When I DJ at parties, there's always DJs looking over my neck, looking at the laptop, seeing what I play, seeing how I set up my crates and my laptop and so on and so forth. So yes, and I appreciate the cats that look up to me and the other DJs that, that feel like I'm somebody to look up to as far as DJing.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I did this on my own. Like, there was no, you know, there's so many DJs. I got an assistant. I got this one. Somebody carry my bag. What you see right there in that laptop is all built by me. So there's no way that I'll verbally put you on and tell you.
Right.
But you're not sharing. You're not getting my library. Absolutely not.
I didn't ask you what your relationship is like with Kane now.
Kane got a good relationship. I mean,
because I saw one of your posts the other day how you was mentioning how back then when you was kind of fucked up financially, how you had to reach out to Hov.
Yeah, I reached out to Hov.
And, asked him for a little financial assistance. And I just didn't dawn on me, like, why wouldn't you ask Kane? Like,
I really don't know. There was no particular reason when I got arrested. And what she's actually referring to is when I got back, first time I got arrested in 2011, a lot of promoters kind of stopped booking me because they didn't really know how the whole situation was going to turn out with me getting arrested. So I was a little messed up financially. But Hov was like the first person I thought of, really. Because like I said, there was other artists that reached out, the Busta Rhymes, the Wyclefs. Because
Hov was the richest.
I didn't even think of it like that. It just came to my mind to ask him.
Why didn't you call us?
Nah.
Why would you feel the closeness to call Hov rather than us? That don't make no sense to me.
I mean, I don't...
You don't have that comfort level where you could have just picked up the phone
absolutely.
And just said,
I have
yo,
that
I'm going
to
need
come
five.
To y'all.
I got five on it.
Absolutely. But that, it was... Even though...
I got a problem with that.
I'm going to tell you why. Even though it was a situation where I was in need, to really be super, super honest, it wasn't desperation. It really wasn't.
What the
wasn't.
Fuck you wanted to just see if he was going to do it?
No, it wasn't that. It was just... It was something I needed to get done right away. Like right away within a day or two. But it wasn't like, it wasn't an emergency situation. If you understand what I'm saying.
I don't.
Then I'm telling you what it was.
So.
Maybe an emergency situation, I come to my second family or I come to my immediate family. But it wasn't an emergency situation.
So you go to your industry family?
Because the motherfuckers got that shit right there. Right there. And, you know, I mean, he was the first one I thought of. It wasn't like, okay, I'm associated with Kane, let me go to Kane. I didn't even think like that. It was just like, there was people that reached out to me immediately, and Kane reached out to me too and really showed support.
What is your relationship though like?
Me and Kane has a very good relationship. You know, we don't see each other often. I'm in New York. He lives in another state. You know, we don't talk to each other often, but we have a good relationship.
Could you pick up the phone and ask Kane for something?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I know I could, and vice versa. I know I could.
Okay.
But you know, but those type of things, when it comes down to immediate family, my immediate siblings, or you and Ace, or Kane, that's the bottom of the ninth, two outs, two strikes. It's a different situation. The situation I was in when I went to Hov was a totally different situation. It was like, I need to get financially fixed quick. Boom.
You should have asked for 20.
What, 20 stacks?
Yeah.
I asked for $5,000, y'all, and he gave me $5,000 within a day.
You should have asked for 20, though. 20,000
is being
like,
greedy.
No. 20,000 is,
you have
like,
to be realistic. See,
my dude, 20,000 is like,
this
25
is what I
needed. Cent.
You want me to be, I really didn't even need the five.
So what the fuck you asked for? You was being an N-word.
No. What I mean is that I needed less than five. So I just said, you feel what I'm saying? I really didn't need the $5,000. I needed less than five. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me just round this off. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's all the more reason why you just should have said
that. No, that's being greedy, Shay. You have to be respectful.
You was being greedy any fucking way because you didn't need five.
Not too greedy.
Shit.
Not too greedy.
So you and Kane is cool?
Me and Kane have a good relationship. We have a good relationship.
Oh, okay. Who's your three closest industry friends?
Master Ace, a number one. I don't even call, he's not even.
Doovy?
That's Slewfoot. Duvenal.
Clear.
Okay. A number one, Ace. Master Ace. That's my number one.
Because you stood in his wedding?
Number two would probably be Funkmaster Flex.
Why you couldn't get 10 stacks from Flex?
Huh?
You could have got 10 stacks from Flex.
What, the money? Yeah. That's the bottom of the ninth. When you got family, you don't go to them on a regular.
That wasn't a regular.
That was a regular. That was a quick regular.
That was the welfare office one-shot deal. That was a one-shot. That's it. You supposed to have gone there, yo. I need that whole lap. Bang, bang. That's
three closest industry friends. Master Ace, Funkmaster Flex. There's not a third.
There really has to be.
There really isn't. Close.
That's a lot of closest.
There's not a third.
No?
There really isn't.
We could put women in it, too.
I mean, you want me to...
No, absolutely not. I'm just saying, don't just think as a man thing. Go think outside the box.
No, that's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Mm. Interesting. I'm going to move along because I want to get to some of your accomplishments. But before I do, I just wanted to say that, just to dwell a little bit on the Hot 97 thing, because I really don't know how that started in your life. Could you like let us know?
How did I get on Hot 97?
Yeah, like how did that whole thing?
I got on Hot 97 through legendary Super Rock and Mr. Magic for
Magic,
the old
Magic,
school.
Magic.
Cats that know about Mr. Magic. Me and Mr. Magic was doing a radio show on a public access station in Brooklyn called WNYE.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to do a show called The Best of Both Worlds. We was on every Thursday night. And we was on from like 1992 to 1996. And in 1993, Hot 97 asked Mr. Magic about doing a radio show.
Okay.
So Magic was like, well, I'm bringing my DJ, Mr. C, over. And that's how I got on Hot 97, through Mr. Magic. But when I got to Hot 97, I got paid through Mr. Magic's check. I wasn't like officially on the Hot 97 payroll because they didn't hire me. They hired Magic. So I started off getting like $50 every 2 weeks.
Wow. What year was this?
We started in 93.
Mm.
And we was actually doing both stations. We was doing the WNYE thing on Thursday, and then we was doing Hot 97 on Sunday.
You needed that $5,000 then.
But it was, it was like, I just wanted to be on the radio. That was just like my dream job, wanting to be on the radio. And after like 2 years of working with Magic, then I finally got on the Hot 97 payroll. They saw that I was working hard or whatever, and then they.
What happened to Magic though?
And then Magic left Hot 97 in 98, 99, and then I started doing a show called Late Night with Mr. C. That was my solo show on Hot 97 called Late Night with Mr. C. I used to do that Friday night, Saturday morning, 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. and that was my first actual solo show on Hot 97.
Oh, okay. So fast forward all the way till we get to the Throwback at Noon. That was my favorite part of the day. I could be at work and I don't care what I'm doing. If my boss said that your lunchtime is at 1 o'clock, I would let them know that it cannot be at 1 o'clock. It has to be at 12 o'clock because I need that. Like, I'm from that era. From what is it, 80? Well, mostly 90s or whatever. Right. So it was so relatable. It was just like the highlight of my day.
Well, before I started doing the Throwback at Noon, Red Alert used to do the show. It was called The Old School at Noon with Red Alert. And when Red left Hot 97, Hot 97 asked me to do it temporarily.
Okay.
And but before I took over, I had to get Red Alert's blessing because it's like I'm following up.
That's right.
Coming behind a legend.
That's right.
And I can't do this unless the legend tell me it's cool to do it. Because I didn't know the circumstances of why Red left Hot 97. So I asked Red for the blessing. He gave me the blessing. Hot 97 asked me to do it temporarily. And it turned into it being a permanent thing. And when it became permanent, then I went to the station and said, can we change the name of it to the Throwback at Noon?
Okay.
Because at that time...
Because you wanted it
yours. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, that's when throwback jerseys was hot.
Okay.
You know, so I was like... And the whole thing of old school, naming something old school, you know, I just was like, we need to freshen up the name of the show. And it took a minute for people to kind of latch on to me taking over for Red because you're coming... You know, I'm taking over for... yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I, a lot of people really didn't like when I first came on at Noon. It took about, I would say, a year and a half, 2 years for it really to kick in, for people to really appreciate my approach of how I was going to do the show compared to what Red did.
Right.
And, you know, to this day, like, people still hit
me. We miss it.
And, you know, people love that show, you know. And I love doing it. You know, I had my...
couldn't pick the better person because, like I said, your record collection is just like, you be like, oh, shit, yo, where he found that at? Like, stuff that you would never think that you would ever hear again.
But one of the things, one of the approaches that I did when I took over for Red was I started to move the music up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because Red, when Red was doing...
And the years.
And the years up. Because when Red was doing the old school at Noon, he kind of kept it 80s, 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 80s. So when I took over... around 98, 99, and that's when I started moving the music up to play, you know, early 90s stuff and so on and so forth. So, because the way I started approaching it was like, anything that's 4 years or older, it's a throwback.
Okay.
You know, and that was the reason of changing it so that we didn't have to stick in this one time frame of music.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once I brung the music up, it was already a popular hour because of what Red did, but once I brung the music up...
You made it better.
You know, I don't want to say I made it better, but it went with the time as far as the progression of the station of Hot 97. So it kind of just kind of went with the the time, you know.
Speaking of your catalog, this don't have nothing to do with nothing because I know we off the topic of, you know, the trend and all of that. But I just want to say that when you went back to work after that interview, I just wanted to tell you that your Throwback at Noon show that day was just legendary genius, in my opinion.
Okay, which because you know there was a couple of, you talk about when after I got arrested in 2011 the first time when I did the show and I didn't talk and I was just speaking with the words with the
record.
That's
exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people to this day talk about that show.
That was classic.
Because I played a lot of records that was relatable.
Nas, Hate Me Now.
You know, I was playing a lot of records relatable to what was going on.
You remember them? You remember a few?
Yeah, I remember the Hate Me Now. Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself by Sly and the Family Stone.
Uh-huh.
A lot of records, you know, that I played. And I just thought of that, like, the night before. You know what I mean? But...
You went home.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, going through the laptop. I was going through the laptop over there. But on the flip side of it, I feel bad about the way that I did that show because remember I lied about what I did and I said
but I think that in some ways that you kind of let go of the truth.
In a sense.
You let go of the truth.
In a sense, but I still was in denial and that's what makes it to where...
That's all right. We all human. You know, it's all right.
But I mean, to this day, people love that show. They're like, that's probably one of the famous moments that people enjoyed. As far as listening to the radio, because it was like I never really addressed the situation. It was like I was just speaking with the records that I was playing. You know,
I just thought it was genius.
I'll give you a copy of that show. I still have
it. I would love to have that.
I still have it in the car.
I don't know, for some reason when I, you know, everybody's just anticipating like, what is he gonna say? What is he gonna say?
Right.
And then for you to just dominate the whole album with
the whole hour. You said album.
I'm sorry. Dominate the hour with just answers slash songs,
statements and stuff.
I don't know, for some reason I was a little beat for something. Like, I don't know, I was a little emotional.
Yeah, I mean it was great for the moment, but you know, like I said, hindsight 2020. You know, I was still in denial, so it's like I can listen to. I listen to that mix now and be like, you know, it was a dope.
You think
mix.
You should have handled it differently?
I mean, everything kind of worked out the way that it worked
everything
out.
Everything was supposed to happen. That was
right.
Supposed
it,
to happen.
The way that it happened, it was the way that. But I listened to that mix now and be like, yo, I was just lying to motherfuckers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I did people wrong, even though people enjoyed that
but
show.
But you're not now, though.
Right, I'm
let's
I'm,
move on.
I'm free.
All right, let's move
Go
on.
Good.
I talked to you about, you know, Kane and your relationship with Kane. I want to talk about another highlight in your career, which was discovering one of the greatest rappers of all time.
And B.I.G.
Yo, a lot of people don't know. Well, a lot of people do, but for those who don't know. Can you talk about how the discovering of the notorious Big IG?
Well, I met Big through his first DJ, 50 Grand. Me and 50 Grand grew up together in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me, yo, there's this dude that live on Fulton Street. His name is Biggie Smalls. You got to hear him. And 50 Grand played me this basement demo. They was, you know, and the ironic thing was that one of the freestyles that Biggie kicked on the basement demo was him rapping on the original sample that me and Kane used for Ain't No Half Steppin'.
Oh, okay.
So, which grabbed my attention right away.
Mm-hmm.
And once I heard that basement demo, I was like, yo, this dude is dope. So I was like, yo, bring him to my crib. We're going to redo the demo. We're going to enter the demo into the Source Magazine, Unsigned Height.
And he came?
And Big came to my house.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was like, yo, man, you know.
What was Big like back then?
He
like,
was real quiet, real shy.
Okay.
Very, very shy. You know, he was like, yo, you know, whatever you want to do, yo. Like, but he would always talk down with his eyes closed. Yo, you know, whatever, you know. 50 said you can look out, whatever you can do, you know. So we
did y'all share cheeseburgers together?
Yes, we did.
You know?
Yes, we did.
I could see that.
I did a party in North Carolina, in Raleigh, North Carolina. At this place called The Zoo. And I brung Biggie with me. And that's when Biggie had Party and Bullshit out. We drove all the way down to Raleigh, North Carolina. Went down there.
This is classic.
We stopped at Roy Rogers.
Oh, shit. Who goes to Roy Rogers and gets a cheeseburger?
This is the 90s. This is the 90s. Remember, it's the 90s.
Okay, go.
And me and Big toured. And the crazy
down?
Thing, and we was on the road and we was running late and Big was like, yo, come on, we gotta stop to eat, please.
Two big babies. That is so.
And I didn't want to stop because we was running late.
Right.
Yo, please.
You wanted to stop.
He almost cried, like literally almost cried because we wouldn't stop to eat. And then we stopped at Roy Rogers. We fucking tore some burgers.
How many burgers you had that day?
I had like 3 burgers.
That is so sad. That is sad. Did you get
a lot
root
of
beer?
Mayonnaise. Huh?
Root beer.
Root beer. You know that.
What did Big get?
Big got chicken, cheeseburgers
and chicken.
That's
what you're supposed to get at.
Cheeseburgers and chicken.
Both a combo?
Yes.
All right, I can't. So tell me how you, like, literally walking Big to Puff. Like, how did that happen?
Well, we redid the demo, and I entered the demo into the Unsigned Height contest through the Source with Maddie C in the Source Magazine.
Okay.
And it was featured in the Source, and then that's when Puff Daddy was A&R at Uptown Records.
Okay.
Was looking for new talent. He went to Maddie because he heard about the Unsigned Hype, and Maddie was like, yo, one of the best guys I got is, you know, the notorious Biggie Smalls and the hitman 50 Grand. And Puff was like, well, how does he look?
Uh-huh.
And Maddie C was like, well, he ain't the best looking rapper in the world, but he can rap his ass off.
Okay.
And Puff was like, you know, how can I get in contact with him? And Maddie was like, yo, contact Mr. C. So that's when we had 1-800 Sky Pages that back then. And Puff hit me on the Sky Pager and wanted to set up a meeting. And we went to Uptown.
Well, that was respectful because Maddie could have been on some, I'll get in touch with him. You know, he still gave you that respect.
Well, I had, you know, the funny thing is I had Big signed. A lot of people don't know. I had Big signed to a production deal because I was actually working on doing a Mr. C DJ solo album.
Oh, you're trying to keep Big for yourself,
right?
Huh?
So I had Big as a part of my 4-song demo.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Big signed as a for a production deal or whatever the case is. So when we met Puff at Uptown originally, and Puff wanted to sign him and Andre Herrell wanted to sign him, I had to make a decision. Well, it was a bunch of labels that wanted to sign Big, but I had to make a decision
to release him.
to release him off the production deal because they was like, yo, we don't do production deals.
Of course not.
Because they ain't want the middleman to be involved. So.
Right.
But we did the deal with Bad Boy, and there was other labels, Jive, Def Jam, that was after Big, but you know, Bad Boy just,
they had the most money?
It wasn't even about the money. It was really about the vision that I just saw early.
Well, they had a movement.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they had a movement, but they didn't have nobody over there like Big. Okay. Number one. And then number two, Puff. I just saw the vision in Puff early on because remember, Puff was a party promoter, you know, and you know, so he was always out just out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I just saw the vision that he saw. You know what I mean? And so that's what made me decide to have Big sign with Bad Boy.
So ultimately they gave you associate executive producer,
and I got points off the album, off the Ready to Die album, and off the Born Again album, because I did Life After Death.
Oh, Born Again, you got two?
Right, Born Again album. They had to come back to me at Born Again,
right?
Because they didn't have those unreleased songs. So we need to holler at you.
Right.
So they came back home on Born Again. So
why you couldn't get associate executive producer on the last one?
On Life After Death, because mm-hmm. it was only for one album.
Yeah, okay. So again, I say, so why you couldn't get associate executive producer on the Life on After Death?
Because the deal was for one album. I'm telling you what it was.
You needed to renegotiate that. Then you walked Big up in there?
That was
points due you.
Right. I walked Big up in there, but the deal was for one album. So we did the deal for one album. And then Life After Death, they did Life After Death on their own. Big passed on. And like I said, they came back home again.
Came back home?
Yeah. And then when they came back home, I was like, we're going to do it a little bit different.
I noticed that, like, since Big's passing, you was constantly, like, every year throwing out one of those unreleased Big songs that you kept for yourself.
Yes.
And because, you know, you was, like, the only one who had these special exclusives.
Right. I still got stuff.
You got more?
Yeah, I got stuff. Right in my laptop right now.
What are you saving them for?
It's not about me saving them. It's just
we want to hear it.
Well, you will hear it.
When?
When I want to play it, you hear it.
Well, how long do we have to wait?
Hey, enjoy the catalog that you're hearing now, and then when I'm ready to let out the dogs, I'll let it out.
What are you waiting to get some gray hairs there?
No, I'm waiting for this bread.
Oh God. So as far as Big and, you know, Junior Mafia and Kim and all of that, you know, what is your relationship with them? Like,
great relationship with Kim. Great relationship with C's.
Define great.
I mean, we get along, no issues, no beefs, no nothing. I just actually was talking to C's yesterday. I'm actually bringing him to a club in 2 weeks for his birthday party. You know, solid relationships, great relationships, no issues, you know.
You met her daughter?
I have not met Kim's daughter.
Do C's have kids?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Mm. I don't know if C's have kids. Great relationship with Biggie's daughter, Tiana.
CJ?
I don't know as well as Tiana. I mean, we follow each other on Instagram and Twitter. We be liking each other's posts. I don't have that.
You met him?
Yeah, of course. I've met him a couple of times. But I'm not as close with CJ as I am with Tiana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tiana, me and her kind of act like we both Leos. So we both got it.
Mean?
Yeah, we both got our shit about each other. Mm. Yeah, so, you know, that's why I think that's why I like her so much.
I like to interview Tiana.
You like to interview Tiana?
I would love to.
I'll talk to her, see if she can make it happen.
Yeah.
I'll talk to her.
Yeah. Absolutely. All them people that you just named, C's, Kim, Tiana, all them Junior Ma. Who fried chicken for you? Who fried chicken for you like me?
Absolutely none of them. Not like the way you do it. No. Matter of fact, you're cooking after this, right?
Possibly. We got some time to go. I got to see how you act first. Mm,
okay.
Yeah, see if you deserve it.
Okay.
All right? There's another accomplishment in your career that I also take pride. And look, you just waiting. You're like, what?
I don't know what you're talking about.
This is your life.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah. You remember this?
You pulling out the stops.
Tropical Fantasy Soda. DJ Mr. C. You remember the Island Punch finisher?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
How this deal came about?
They Tropical Fantasy is based in Brooklyn. And they contacted me. Originally, they wanted to do one DJ from each borough. And I met with the owner. Can't remember his name. But when I met with him, they was like, we're not going to do a DJ in each borough. Mm-hmm. He said one of my interns that work here said that I should just you. And that's it.
Okay.
And
yo, that's a good look for the hood, yo.
Yeah, and
who didn't drink Tropical Fantasy?
You know, they call that liquid crack, though.
What? That's like equivalent to a tall quart of water.
So I did a 2-year deal with them. Nice. The check was nice.
And your face was on the
truck. We're on the truck and everything. The crazy thing about when that happened is I started getting a whole new fan base from kids. Because, you know, the mothers is buying the kids. Right.
The liquid crack.
So, you know, I'd be walking in the store, a mother would there with a son or daughter and be like, that's the guy. That's the soda guy. That's the soda guy.
You remember how much they charged for that?
50 cent dollar.
Damn. Something like that.
It was real cheap. Real cheap.
You got one of these left?
I still got mine. I still got mine at the house.
Yeah, I saved. Yeah, you see that?
Yeah. No more acid. You see, it's closing in.
Yeah.
That was a real nice situation.
Let me see how much sugar's in here. Jesus Christ.
That was a nice situation.
Yeah, nice check. Yeah. What that check was looking like? How many figures?
It was 5 figures.
Oh, okay.
It was 5 figures each year.
Each year.
Yeah, it was 5. It was a really nice. And then, you know, with High 97 having the logo on it,
that was nice.
Made it even better. So the station approved of it or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm.
It was a good look. Yeah.
I was just hoping I was going to get luck out like 50 Cent and Coca-Cola buy it, but
it
didn't happen that way.
That's all right. But soon come.
Yeah.
Maybe you should endorse like your own type of ground beef or something since you love cheeseburgers. You know, maybe you could get something with, you know, Roy Rogers or something like that holding up a cheeseburger. It's believable. People
don't eat the beef
you.
as much as heavy as I used to. Shay, you're looking in the past.
No, you still fuck up a cheeseburger.
You slim down.
Yeah, well, maybe chicken.
Chicken.
You're never gonna stop eating chicken.
Absolutely not.
What's your 3 favorite foods?
I love roast beef.
You do?
What? Roast beef?
More than a cheeseburger?
No, a cheeseburger. I don't really. Shay, it's
what
not
about
like
turkey
that.
Burger?
No, definitely not.
Oh, okay.
I'm not. Come on, man. I'm not with all that. Turkey burger.
You don't
burger.
Drink almond milk?
Absolutely not. Hell no.
You still fuck up a pork chop, though.
On occasion.
Okay.
On occasion. But,
preferably fried.
I love roast beef. That's probably my favorite dish.
More than fried chicken. Really?
Yeah, I love roast beef, but not everybody know how to make it.
You gotta chill on that cow, yo.
No, I'm not chilling on the cow.
No,
I'm sorry.
Ever?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
What else?
Believe it or not, I love meatloaf, but not everybody know how to cook a really
good
meatloaf.
How you like it? You like the red one or the brown one?
I like the red one.
Oh, the red one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And trying to think of the last.
I know another one of your favorite foods.
What is it?
Mayonnaise.
No. Not as much, Shay. Not as she's digging back in the day.
No more mayonnaise?
Not as much. And I hate to say it, but
please don't let it be another thing of red meat, because I'm done.
I love red meat. Don't act like you don't like red meat.
All right, but easy, yo. Easy. You got hypertension. Be easy. You eat greens?
Yeah, I love vegetables.
You know,
I love vegetables.
There's something that I don't like about you that's what? Really. You don't eat macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, and I'm probably the only black.
The only black person I know that who don't eat macaroni and cheese and potato salad.
Because crazy, I love cheese. Cheese on a sandwich, but I don't macaroni and cheese. I can't do it. And
why?
I used to love potato salad. I just don't eat it no more.
Why? You had an experience.
No, I never. I just
toenail.
I just stopped eating it.
That's weird.
Just like rutabaga. I used to eat rutabaga when I was a kid. I can't eat no rutabaga.
Only
now.
People from the South know about a rutabaga.
Yeah, like all that type. But I used to love potato salad. I can't do it no more. Mm. And potato salad got mayonnaise in it.
Yeah, and that's your favorite food.
But no, I don't eat it no more.
No more? Mm-mm. Interesting. All right, so moving along, I want to talk about another one of your accomplishments. People don't know. Right. I know a lot of people don't know. You was formerly an A&R.
Yes, I was an A&R at Mercury Records.
How'd that happen?
You know what?
How'd that come
about? Oh, you know what? How that happened was I used to manage a group called Blase Blase.
Oh!
If y'all remember that classic 90s record, When the East is in the House.
Oh,
oh my
God.
Danger. Uh-huh. I used to manage them, and they were signed to Mercury. And then that's when it became a progression into me managing them, and the head of A&R, Bruce Carbone, asked me to become A&R there.
Okay. Who else you work with up there?
I worked with Brian McKnight with his album Anytime. One is probably his most successful album.
Didn't you work with Mace?
No, but
You got Mace.
I got Mace. Okay. And I got Puff to produce the joint that Brian McKnight did with Mace. I worked with Gina Thompson.
Okay.
If y'all remember her, The Things You Do.
Sing some.
The things you do makes me. I went to Puff again for the remix for that. I worked with Tony. I worked with Vanessa Williams. I worked with Diamond D. I worked with Ill and Al Scratch.
Right. What's up with them?
I haven't seen them in a minute. But those was like some of the main acts I worked with while I was up there. Mm. The NBA at 50 album. I remember A&R that album.
How long you was up there?
I think 3 years. Mm. So I think 3 years. And then I got fired.
Why?
Because I was overusing the car service.
Oh my God.
I didn't have a car.
Black people can't do.
I didn't have a car back then, so I was just, yo, the crazy thing is.
But why couldn't somebody say to you, yo, be easy? They going to just fire you?
Nah, they let it pile up. I was using that car
service.
Where
was your car?
Huh? I didn't have a car at that time. I wasn't driving. And the crazy thing is, I was using the car service to go to strip clubs, tricking. How about that?
Following after that jaw again.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times it was just taking the car service to a club or whatever, just reckless.
That was a good job.
Yeah, I had fun doing it. I had fun doing it. Mm. I've done some ghost A&R now. You know what a ghost A&R is?
I can imagine. People don't know that you did it.
Right.
Okay.
Like, there's been rappers that have came to me within the past couple of years or and asked me to come listen to their albums, come listen to their projects, and I give them direction or whatever is. You got ghost rap.
You get paid for that?
No, I just, you know, it's been the rappers who really, really show me love, i.e. some of the rappers I named earlier, the 50 Cents, the Busters, you know, I have ghost A&R.
You got a good relationship with 50?
Great relationship. A really, really good relationship with 50.
You think I could get an audition on Power?
I don't know about that. I don't know about if the great relationship is that great.
No.
I don't know if it's that
great. It's worth a call, though.
But I have a really, really good... you know, if I get on the phone with 50 right now, we'll be on the phone for like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, the next time you get on the phone...
What you want to do? You want for the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, put a good word in for me?
I'll put a good word.
I ain't showing my boobies, though.
Well, you have to show your boobies.
Everybody shows their boobies on Power.
Oh, you talking about for Power? I thought you talking about for the Lachey show.
No, I want to put 50 here too. Yeah, I didn't know you were talking about that. All right, let's get this clear. I want him as a guest, and after the guest, I want to audition on Power.
Okay.
Because I heard that they just got signed to season 4 and season 5.
Yeah,
4 and 5. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Mm. So 4 or 5, can I get a walkthrough?
Well, yeah, let me talk to my man. Let me see what's going on.
All right, hook
let me
it
talk
up.
To my man.
Yeah. Another thing people don't know about
DJ Mr. Z.
Is that you produce some records, right?
I've dabbled in it.
Yeah.
I wish I would have took it more seriously, though.
You should have.
I really wish. But, you know, the radio started and so on and so forth, so I really didn't take it as serious as I really, really should have.
I don't know how many records that you have, quote unquote, produced in your day, but I could tell you a couple that I know.
Run it down.
You produced for an artist named Master Ace.
That debut album, Take
a Look Around, that came out in 1988-89. And what was the song, sir?
I did I Gotta.
Uh-huh.
I did Can't Stop the Bum Rush.
Oh.
I did I think I was credited for As I Reminisce, but I think that was more of a joint production. And I did Postin' High.
A lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah, that debut album, classic.
Yeah.
Was those the four? Those are the four, I think.
I didn't know about all those four.
I thought you
wanted
to.
I actually had two, and then I just wanted you to kind of chime in because I didn't have all my homework.
My mind.
Yeah. ASCAP. You also produced. People don't know this. That you did a song on the Rhythm and Beats album.
On your album.
Yeah. Lachey's.
3 to 5.
Yeah, Lachey's debut album, yeah, Rhythm and Beats.
That's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, he did 3 to 5 on my album. So that was one of my favorite songs on the.
That should have been a single.
Who you telling?
Should have been a single.
What happened?
Warner Brothers.
Yeah. These things happen. So, what else got going on? Did I cover everything about your long, elongated life? Because,
yeah, I think you covered it. You never really, you ain't asked me why I left I-97. Because y'all was promoting life after I-97. You didn't ask me why I left.
You're right. All right, so while we're there, take it there. Since you want to take it there,
Because really, nobody, I haven't done an interview since I left Hot 97 to tell people why I left Hot 97. So this is a...
exclusive?
The Shay Show exclusive.
All right, go.
I left the station on my own. Like, actually, when I resigned...
So you didn't get fired?
I did not get fired from Hot 97.
You know, Syph said he didn't get fired either. Just to let you know.
No, Syph didn't get fired. Okay. Actually, Syph was just a guest DJ on the station this weekend. They just had him on the air this weekend as a guest DJ.
Okay.
No, I resigned on the air unexpectedly.
Why?
And the reason that I resigned on the air unexpectedly is because I kind of saw the direction that the station was going in with with some of the new talent that they wanted to put on the air. So my thing was, before they get to me and either want to let me go, or before they get to me and say we want to demote you and maybe give you less time, I just said, you know, it's time to move on.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
I just explained it to you.
No, that's not a good explanation.
I just explained it to you. The station was going in a different direction.
Nah. How do you know that the new direction that they was taking didn't include you?
It wasn't going to include me.
How do you know?
If you've been on I've been with the station for 21 years.
Flex still there?
Yeah, Flex is still there.
Okay.
Right?
They included him?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't they include you?
I felt that I wasn't going to be included in the future plans of the station.
Well, wouldn't it have made more
sense? And hold on. And not just the future plans, but on a bigger scale. Like, I felt like it was going to either be that I was going to get let go, or it was going to be that I was going to get less time, meaning getting taken off the air from being on every day.
What difference does it make?
It makes a difference to me, because I'm a brand.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I put in, I do a lot of, invested a lot of time and work into my career. So not knowing what the situation
is. Is it a pride thing?
Of course it's a pride thing. You don't build something for 21 years and then somebody's going to tell you, well, we're only going to put you on once a week or twice a week or maybe little or none at all.
But how do you know that would have actually happened?
Because I know if you work somewhere for 21 years, you know what's getting ready to happen. If you work somewhere for 21 years, you know what's getting ready to happen.
Did you get unemployment?
Yes. No, I didn't. No. I didn't get unemployment because I quit. Yeah, so
21 years, you left.
Mm-hmm.
No unemployment.
I left all that on
no
the table.
No package.
I left all that on the
no
table.
No watch.
I got a watch.
You got your watch?
Yeah, I got a watch. I got my watch.
That's all the more reason why I felt like that. You should have left by you.
But really, I just felt the station was going in a new direction. And if you listen to the station now, you see they have new talent on the air. So my assumption was right. And I just felt like I wasn't going to be in. I might have been in the plans for that particular year, but not 5 years from now or 7 years.
I just felt like you just don't know. You didn't know.
I did know, Shay.
No, See.
Listen to the station.
First of all, how about Syph?
Listen to the station. It's me and Syph and Big Dennis and Angie. It was there was a big overhaul change at the station.
Well, just to let you know, I just want to let you know that Syph said that he left on his own, like you,
mm-hmm.
and he got unemployment.
Right, because he didn't resign on the air like I did. I resigned on
the
air, so I quit on
the air. Oh, it makes a difference that you're on the air?
If you quit, you
quit. He quit. He quit.
No. That's not.
That didn't happen?
That's not accurate.
No?
No.
I just felt like
they went to Syph.
After 21 years, you should have walked with something.
Yeah, you're right. And now, hindsight 2020, the way I handled it was wrong. I could have handled it a little bit differently. But
it was a little niggerish.
It was niggerish.
Yeah,
it was niggerish. It was niggerish.
You don't do that.
But at the same time, knowing the direction and knowing the way the station was going to go, I didn't feel like I was in a bigger part of the plan. So I left, and then next year, you know, a couple of weeks later, I get a call from a new radio station, Radio 103.9, that I was a part of for like a year and some change.
Okay, so what happened with that?
Well, the station is still a new station. So what happened was we was rolling, like we was on the air doing our thing, rolling, but the money just really wasn't coming in. And you know, with any radio station.
And it was always staticky too.
Well, the station is, like I said, it's a new station. So it don't have that much of a broad base as much as Hot 97 or Power 105 or WBLS. So all of that leads to them not making as much money as the Hot 97 and the Power 105 and BLS. So they let the whole on-air staff go. Like, this happened this past February, February 16th. All of us got let go because they couldn't keep up paying all of us a salary if there's not enough money coming in.
Right.
So 90% of the on-air staff got let go. We all got let go. But I had a great, I mean, they gave me a great opportunity. I had a great time. And that year or so run, you know, it was.
So you need to be on the radio again.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see. We'll see what may happen. You know,
what do you mean?
I'm doing satellite radio. I'm doing Backspin, Sirius XM. I do some shows for them.
How do you feel about spinning old school music? Like, are you?
I don't feel no way about it.
Oh, okay.
I don't feel no way. I'm you know, but even like, but at the parties, if I DJ at a party, I play everything, the new, the old, or whatever. But you know, I get offered to do guest appearances on radio stations in different markets, and you know, sometimes I play the current music, sometimes I play the throwback music, but it doesn't bother me. I'll be 50 this year. I'll be 50 in a couple of weeks. It does not.
Damn.
I don't look 50 though.
That's all you know.
You hear me? You hear me? You hear me? Huh?
Look, but, like baby Finster.
Yeah. But it doesn't bother me. I mean, somebody has to lead the way of playing.
I think
classics.
That you should be back on the radio.
We'll see.
On the box.
Yeah, New York. We'll see. We'll see what the future may hold.
It needs to happen because you're missed.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
What would you say is the three hottest records in the club right now?
Hip hop?
We could start with hip hop and then we get to
okay. The
R&B.
the biggest hip hop record in the club right now in New York City is a record called Ooh, O O O U U U by Young M.A. She's a female rapper from Brooklyn.
How it go?
You want me to play from the laptop?
I want you to sing it.
There's only but one of her biggest lines in right, the go. Record is like, I call her Stephanie, we call her Heavenly.
Okay, I don't know who.
It's the biggest record in
okay,
the
what else?
What else is big? Hip hop. She's killing it so much.
Oh.
Drake, you know, all of, you know, Drake for Free, DJ Khaled, Drake for Free.
I love that.
Of course, Panda. Oh, and A Boogie with the Hoodie, My Shit. That's one of the biggest hip hop records too in the club too.
Mm. That's when they go
a lot crazy. A lot of local, you mm-hmm. know, because Young M.A. is from Brooklyn.
Master Ace.
A Boogie with the Hoodie, the Bronx. You got Designer with Panda, of course, still rocking. So those are probably the biggest three.
What's the three biggest R&Bs?
The three biggest R&B records, man, probably the biggest R&B record of the year is that Vivian Green.
Really?
You know, the baby record. That's probably the biggest R&B record of the year. So you got that.
Really?
That is a monster.
Wow. Get Vivian Green up here.
R&B. What else? R&B. Of course, you know you have to.
What about that Usher joint? I like that.
What new Usher?
That No Limit?
No, not yet. Chill out. No. You gotta take a seat for a minute.
Damn. What Usher do to you?
You know Khaled. I mean, Drake Controller. Even though that's kind of reggae-ish, but it's still him singing.
You heard the Khaled Controller new album?
And the Controller and the What's the other Drake record? Baby.
Uh-huh.
You know, One Dance. Another big R&B record is Backyard Party by R. Kelly.
I don't know that.
A Backyard Party.
That? Still?
What? Monster.
Over 50 heads, right? No, all heads.
25 and up, 30 and up.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. You know, Work Rihanna. You know, the typicals.
Who's your favorite R&B artist?
Mary J. Blige.
Why are you smiling?
Because you know that's what I was going to say. You know that's what I was going to say.
How do you
feel? You know her and Ken do got it. They got a divorce.
Can you hold a tail?
Okay. Yeah, MJB, man.
It's not official yet.
It's official. It's they getting a divorce.
Getting? How do you feel about that, C? People were saying that Ken do has severed a lot of relationships, like business relationships for Mary and... You know, that's what niggas were saying. But, like, people didn't want to work with Mary because they ain't like how, you know, Kendall was handling her business and
well, you know, in
money disappearing.
In any form of business, you're going to have the good cop, bad cop. It's just like when the Rock was strong, you had Jay-Z and you had Dame and Biggs. Dame was the asshole, Big was the nice guy. So we don't know if Mary and Ken Do was playing that good cop, bad cop role just to be successful in business. You have to have the good cop, bad cop to be successful.
Well, Mary obviously didn't approve because she's tired of his shit and she's ready to move on, right?
All it's going to do is just lead to her making some hot
shit.
Absolutely. But, you know, MJB is my favorite.
You think Kendu was dipping in the bread or what?
I don't know.
He's trying to be politically correct.
No, I don't know. I don't know. You know, they like...
You love Mary. You should be getting defensive right now. Somebody's dipping in the bread.
I just hope that, you know, Mary makes some hot shit out of it. You know.
You don't got to hope. She will. She makes her best stuff from pain.
That's it. Enough crying.
I'm looking forward to it. Actually, I'm happy about it.
She can't do no wrong for me. You know how I feel about Mary. She can't do no wrong.
No wrong?
My favorite male female R&B artist is R. Kelly. Can't do no wrong.
Never.
I don't care. I don't care about the P. I don't care.
No.
You know I don't care. You look what I've been through. You think I care about him?
I was just about to say, I don't care who slobs on your knob. You're my favorite DJ ever.
So R. Kelly and Mary for me, that's it.
So, speaking of parties, I know that you're trying to have this big, enormous... 50th birthday bash that a lot of people was looking forward to, including myself. what should we expect from DJ Mr. C's birthday?
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm so, when I DJ and do parties, I'm so much giving other people the attention and so much trying to put on a good show. So now that the attention is going to be on me, I really, and this is probably the only second time that I ever done a birthday party ever in my life. So
how old were you with the first one?
It was 1999.
Mm,
so
I don't think I was born.
I was at the lab. Remember the lab in Brooklyn? So,
remember Club Vivid?
Yep. Remember Vivid?
Damn.
So, with the attention being on me, I really don't know how I'm going to be until it actually happens, but it's going down Sunday, August 21st. It's a day party from 4 to 10 p.m. I got my good friend, Busta Rhymes.
Good friend? That's your favorite line.
My good.
Just so we know, when you say my good friend on the air, when you say two or three goods, does that solidify
how
the closeness?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I say my good friend, that's more generic.
Okay.
And like my good, that's my guy.
Okay.
So I got my good friend, Busta Rhymes, my guy, coming through. It's at Club Amadeus in Queens.
He performing?
We'll see. We got him hosting. We'll see.
Okay.
Shout out to Will Thomas, the main promoter that's putting this event together. And
they're going to have food?
We should have food there.
That should be established by now.
I don't know, Shay. We should.
Cheeseburger.
I'm not used to throwing myself a party. So it's like, it ain't going to be no elaborate. I'm walking in with the crown and
the
cape and all of that.
The cape?
No. Look, we're just going to have this is a milestone.
You're going to have a Dapper Dan suit with the finisher logos all over it?
Nah, we're not doing all of that.
No,
I'm turning 50. I got to be a little dapper. I got to look a little clean.
You know
clean.
What you're wearing?
Absolutely. You know what I'm wearing.
I know nothing.
You know what I'm wearing.
Yeah,
I had to get the okay from you.
Yeah, you walking in with something or what?
I can't walk in with something.
No.
There's going to be too many things walking around.
Well, let me just put it to you like this. When you leave with something... Make sure they go Linden Boulevard.
Not leave with anything. There's too much money to be made. Let me count this money first.
Okay.
I'll see you in a couple of days.
Couple of days?
Yeah. Let me count this bread.
First?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time, though. I mean, all jokes aside, we're going to have a good time. It's a milestone, turning 50.
I've been
putting up some of my testimonies of stuff that I've been through in my first 50 years on my Instagram at DJ Mr. C. And,
We're gonna
have a good time on the 21st. So you know.
Well, I'm a big fan of all that you've accomplished. You make me proud.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying because I'm not trying to make the beep happen. You know the
is this your longest interview?
It is my longest interview because it's a special edition. I told you that. But being that you come from where I come from, Brooklyn Bed-Stuy, like for somebody to have accomplished all that you accomplish is, I want to be like you when I grow up. You know what I'm saying?
Stop.
Minus the you know.
Yo, listen, nobody's perfect.
That's right.
Everybody make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. You know, you just
I don't judge you.
You gotta learn from your mistakes, build on it, and become a better person. So, you know, we'll see what the next 50 years lead into in the phase of Calvin LeBron, aka Mr. C. We'll see what happens.
You got any social media you trying to?
Nah, just you know, at DJ Mr. C, Twitter, Instagram,
and
Facebook.
And no, let me tell y'all, C just got on Facebook not too long ago.
I just got on Facebook.
Yeah, he was like, oh, this Facebook ain't really popping really like that. But now you see Facebook is popping
really
like
that. I really like Facebook. Right, you know why? Because you really get to see people that you ain't seen in years. It's really more the people that you kind of come up with. You know what I mean?
So let's help C get his followers up on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, you could just type in DJ Mr. C, it'll come up.
All right, and you on Instagram?
Instagram, Twitter, at DJ Mr. C. And if you ever want to download any of my mixes that I've done on the radio, you can download my mixes. Just click the link on my Instagram and Twitter homepage at DJ Mr. C, or go to hulkshare.com/DJ Mr. C. MisterCee, by the way.
And where's the party again? Where they want to get tickets, or what do they got
to
do?
You go to... You can DJ Mr. C 50 at eventbrite.com. That's the for the 50th birthday.
And it's on the 12th. No,
17th. No, it's August 21st.
Lord have mercy.
Sunday, August 21st. 4 to 10 p.m. Day party early. We good.
Okay. Well, I guess we about to wrap things up. I just wanted to say that again. You're a living legend.
You think so?
I know so. Dad, can I finish my thought? And your accomplishments really cannot be compared.
I hope y'all enjoyed this interview. This is long as hell.
Yo, listen. Your accomplishments can't be compared to any DJ, and you are an asset to our culture.
Thank you. And, I appreciate it.
And I'm proud to have you here.
Thank you.
Lachey Show at Facebook. Lachey Show on IG. Lachey Show on Twitter. You can catch Lachey Show on Mixcloud. If you missed this, you can know you could catch it the following Tuesday at brooklynradio.com. And if you want to email me or say anything to me about C, you know, a little private jokey jokes or whatever you got, you can hit me at
Lachey. Ain't going to be private. She's going to relay that shit right to me.
At Lachey Show.
Good or bad comments is all good.
At gmail.com. And, yo, thank you, Santa Claus.
You're welcome. We're going to eat now?
Lachey Show. We're going to eat now.
Push it, 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 push it